So on screen, brother, sister, dynamic. Did you guys try to represent that, recreate that off screen? You know, goof around.
I try to stay as far away from Nicola as possible. She has a certain smell about her that
I found reprehensible. You're nice.
Thank you.
I don't know. As soon as we had the mix and match audition session, like I think it was like 2 years ago now, it just kind of like clicked into place. I got a 15-year-old sister, and you know, she's smart and witty, just like
I have older brothers, a lot of them.
So I just kind of felt pretty natural from the get-go. It wasn't too much work to be done there, though. I think the extent of the work was when we got to Greenland. I pushed her in a snowdrift.
For no reason.
Head first. Just completely submerged.
But I got him back.
That's right at the beginning.
I was right at the beginning.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, nice to meet you too. Boom. I'm like, oh, great. But a year later, I got to slime him at the Kids' Choice Awards.
It's called karma. Yeah. Don't mess with karma. It messes with you back.
Is this a strange time for you, given the fact that, you know, within a couple of days of each other, you've got two potentially massive franchises. One of them we know is massive.
Yeah.
And this other one, I mean.
It's definitely an interesting time. I mean, nothing that I ever would have ever expected. I never thought I'd be a part of a franchise, let alone two at once. And they're back-to-back, which is kind of unheard of and really kind of odd. But what I do like about it is, you know, I've always kind of tried to manage my career as a character actor and not so much a leading man. And that's what I like. I like those roles. I've always did those roles in theater. And I really want to kind of bring that to the screen. So, I mean, I had these two characters coming out. Yeah, I mean, these two films are coming out with two completely different characters. They couldn't be more dissimilar, in my opinion, except for they both, you know, are, like, in a lot of action scenes.
Right.
But that's about the only similarity between them, to play a 200-year-old vampire fighting his instincts, and then a 17-year-old wannabe warrior becomes the rebel leader over the course of this film. So it's very exciting for me to be able to, you know, kind of showcase two different sides of myself, I suppose.
That's pretty cool.
And speaking of Eclipse, you just worked with Bryce Dallas Howard, who was in Lady in the Water as well with M.I. Chalamon. So did you trade night stories as you were on set, or, you know?
Yeah, well, actually it was cool because I got to film The Last Airbender before filming Eclipse, so I actually got to take all that martial arts training as well. And, you know, when I met Bryce, yeah, we definitely talked about it and, you know, talked about what a sweetheart, you know, Knight was, how down to earth he was, what a great family man he was. And, you know, it was cool. It was like, I think, you know, Bryce and Knight are really close still. And it's just it's a fantastic kind of connection there. And it's like they always say, it's a small world. And you know, in the entertainment business, it's a really small world. So it's pretty interesting.
He's known for being really secretive with the scripts. Anything like, did you get in drips and drabs, or did you get the whole thing, or do you have an assistant sitting with you while you read it? And then
it actually, the script came with an eye scanner, so it would scan your retinas, and then you could open it. No, it was pretty straightforward. You know, we got the script, and it wasn't as secretive as all that, but definitely during the audition process, it was like you only get the certain pages, but that's fairly normal for the most part. With a bigger budget film, that they only release the sides. I mean, sometimes they'll just release sides from another movie, and you got to read that, and you're like, what the hell's the point? You want me to read sides from like Predators versus Aliens, that so I could play like, you know, the Airbender? No.
What the scope of this movie for the two of you? I mean, granted, although the Twilight films have some scope, they ain't got the scope of the Last Airbender. I mean, I'm just curious, working in this project this giant, I'm just wondering what, for each of you, that's like.
Well, it's definitely interesting bringing an animated, you know, like, kind of worldwide phenomenon, if you will. I mean, it's played in over 120 countries, which is, I think, I don't know how many shows have ever done that. And to kind of be part of that and to create this kind of live action world out of it and to try and, you know, serve the characters as honestly as possible while, you know, making them a little bit more honest and a little, like, maturing the story. We had to lose some of the slapstick and everything. It's nerve-wracking, I gotta say, but it's fun. You know, I think the trick is just to have fun doing it and love what you do. And we were, you know, lucky enough to have an amazing group of actors to work with. I mean, you know, Dev Patel is an awesome guy. You guys just hung out with him. You know, Sean Tope was amazing actor to learn from. I mean, having a director like M. Night, who is a director that I waited for, you know, like every year for his film, a new film of his to come out, and then getting to work with some undiscovered amazing talent like this girl right here, who's just gonna, I think, gonna blow up. You know, it's like people are just gonna fall in love with her once they see this film.
Could you talk about how you each prepared for the roles?
We did a lot of training. 2 years ago in October, I started training. I did Kung Fu and Tai Chi. Kung Fu is more rough, and Tai Chi is like waterbending. It's like fluid. And then we did it all the way through the last day of filming. It was a lot of training. I also learned wire work, because in February, we all moved down to Philadelphia, and we did boot camp. And I think that's what made us all really close right away, because we were all together for so many hours, and we just had to, you know, get close, and we all became a family through this movie.
It was nice. We trained in this place we called the Fridge, because it was freezing cold, which was nice.
Prepared us for Greenland.
Prepared us for Greenland. I think that's why they did it. They could have had heat in there, but it was like, yeah, it was great stretching in the morning. It's like, you're freezing cold. You're just like, I don't know how to do this, man.
It's tough in the morning. It's warm to even stretch, I can imagine.
It's everything's tough in the morning.
Everything's tough.
I don't know, I'm not a morning person. You know, I'm a night person, so everything's difficult in the morning.
In the series, Soka is a very funny character. He's very slapstick, and that has toned that down a bunch, but the essence of it's still kind of there. Did you have any conversations with Knight about any of that stuff, or about the character?
Oh, yeah. Very extended conversations, and, you know, like, because, you know, one of the things in the kind of in the audition process that I really kind of brought to the character was that dichotomy of you know, him being a warrior, but also being able to make offhanded remarks and kind of, you know, allude to the slapsticky style of it all. I mean, I was a huge Buster Keaton fan, Charlie Chaplin fan for a long time. You know, so I love that style, and I think it's you know, it's a lost art form, the vaudeville arts, and. But, you know, but it didn't serve the story as well as making it more realistic, trying to, you know, kind of mature the character up a little bit. Because, you know, in a cartoon, you can have a fireball, like, race at you, and your eyebrows are singed, and you're like, ooh. But it doesn't work in a live-action version. It would seem like a parody of itself. And so, you know, we're very careful about that throughout the course of the film. But I definitely got some takes that I hope will make it into the deleted scenes where I played around, and you know, it was just, you know, every once in a while, because you do like 14 or 15 takes, or sometimes like 20, I think the most takes was like 30 throughout the course of the film, but you gotta play around every once in a while, keep it fresh. And so I definitely added some slapstick to a couple scenes that definitely didn't make it into the cut, but I just had to do it, just had to put that in there. There's a scene where, like, where we're coming down, actually, to when we first discover Ong and, like, you know, break open the sphere. Yeah, like, at the slide down that hill to get in there. It was just one time I just kept slipping the entire time. I would try and stand up and just keep slipping. And like, Andrew Lesney called me over after one take, and he's like, you got to see this. This is too ridiculously funny. And I watched, like, the playback, and you literally see me slip out of frame, and then my feet kind of kick up. And then I pop back up again. I slip back down, my feet pop up before I finally was able to stand up. And I kind of played into the falling a little bit, but it just didn't work. It didn't serve this story. It was just, you know, it's like a serious moment. Kind of, there's moments where that works to add the levity, you know. But too much is just, it takes away from the overall story, and that I can't do that.
So when they did the comedy version, you'll be all set, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, Airbender on ice, and I can't ice skate. Thus, the funniness ensues.
What was the scene that took 30 takes? What was it? I guess I'm thinking about what was the hardest scene to do.
You remember this?
No. What scene was it? Wait, it was mine, wasn't it? What was it? Oh, wait, I do remember.
Yep.
Okay, it's actually in the trailer. Do you remember when they say, well, they say Jackson Rathbone, and then they show a clip of him, and then they say Nicola Peltz is Katara, and literally I pin something up and look behind me.
Oh, yes, yes.
Literally, that took 30 takes. I don't know what was with me that day, but Knight was like, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing wrong? So all I had to do was pin something up and smile, and I think that took the longest, and I don't...
That's not what I heard. Uh-oh. I heard there's another take. Oh, but you and Noah.
What's the real story, Jack?
A little brewing romance, you know. You know,
which
I was like,
which one are you talking about? Oh, great. Now I take 30 takes on all my scenes. Billy and Jackson.
That one did not take 30. The pinning up scene?
Yeah,
it was
did.
Like, they took like a minute.
You it were took amazing. 17 takes.
Jeez, so see, 17. Like that.
Okay, well, that's the only one I can think of.
No, that wasn't even 17. That was probably like 5 takes. She's self deprecating. No, it was this amazing scene. It's like, well, you know, because like we're trying to balance these, like these characters and all these balances between them, and you know, like there is a budding romance between Katara and Aang throughout the course of the series, and you know, kind of how to balance that and the way to play it. And I was on set that day, and I like,
oh, you're talking about the one in Greenland.
Yeah, it's a really sweet scene where, like, you know, Aang is admiring her water necklace medallion, and poor little Noah was so scared to be close to this beautiful Nicola that he would look at it like this. He'd be like, oh, that's a beautiful necklace. And it was just, it was so sweet and it was so sincere, but it just was like, it was kind of awkward, and like trying to like both get it going at the same time and have that proper, like, there's a spark, but they're so young that it has to play. And how do you play that? And I think, you know, it wasn't that anybody was doing it wrong or like that it was like we weren't hitting it. It was just, how do you find that balance of showing this kind of this young, innocent love that's born out of, I mean, something that, you know, is lost in cinema these days. I mean, honestly, and it's a purity. And how do you find that? And but it was just so funny at the first few takes to see.
It was funny. I remember.
See
that.
Noah would just be like this.
Noah would honestly be like, "Could you get a longer necklace?" I was like, "Why?" He's like, "I don't know. I just feel weird going so close to you." I was like, what is wrong with you? I don't bite." He was like,
"That's not what I heard."
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at her. Clearly, yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Am I the vampire here? No.
Oh.
This brother-sister relationship is great. Do you guys play jokes on each other on set? Do you prank each other at all?
Oh, you got to see the deleted scenes. It's funny.
We had too much fun. I gotta say, yeah. No, straight up, we like the entire filming process was a blast. You know, we all had a lot of fun with each other, and it was just. It did feel like a family. Like, people have always asked us, what's the hardest part about filming The Last Airbender? And at the end of the day, it was saying goodbye. As simple as that. It sounds trite, but it's true. It's you know, we all became so close. Just all of the cast and the crew and everybody. And like, you work with these people day in, day out, over like, you know, 14 hours a day. And you know, you become like family. And you know, like, you are all collaborating. I get caught up in my southern accent sometimes. You are all collaborating on this film together, on this piece of work. And at the end of the day, you become like a family. And it was sad to say goodbye.
But we're not saying bye. We're on tour now, and everyone's here, so it's very exciting. Yes, hopefully. Two more.
Well, I wanted to ask, saying goodbye, and I know I'm changing the subject here, but you've got a 6-month shoot ahead of you with Breaking Dawn, but how is it going to be? This has been such a whirlwind for you over the last couple of years, and everybody else, obviously, you know, is tied with it. How is that going to feel when this thing is sort of wrapping up, even though, again, I know you have a 6-month shoot, but still, it's coming to an end.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely coming to a head there, but, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, but it's been so amazing to, you know, be back. Every time we film another, like, Twilight movie, it's like a family reunion. It honestly is. And I think I just see such bright futures for all my co-stars. And they're all such sweet people, and, like, their careers are all taken off, and they deserve it. They're great actors, and they're great people, and they're great individuals at the core of their being. And I can say the same for my co-stars in The Last Airbender. And I don't know how I got so damn lucky to work with people that I respect and I admire as much as I do. And I can say that with all sincerity, because, you know, I'll be honest, like, I look back on my earlier career, and when I was first starting to work, I definitely met people, and I've seen people, and I've seen young actors. When I used to try to do the bar scene in LA, which, screw that, I did that for a year, and I was like, this is the most boring thing in the world. Everybody's, you know, like, you know, stroking each other's egos the entire time. But, you know, I've been lucky enough to work on projects with big name projects that the actors don't do that. They're about the work, and they're about making a product for people to enjoy. And, you know, it's going to be sad to say goodbye, but I definitely see and I hope to work with them again in the future. You know, especially since now I'm going to be producing more. So, I produced my first film this past year with my bandmate Jared Anderson, a movie called Girlfriend. It's going to be premiering on this festival circuit. Our band, Wonder Monkeys, composed the score, and right now I'm securing more financing and funding for our next project. So.
And you're working with Ryan Kwan, who's on New True Blood coming up too.
Possibly.
He's not definite.
Well, the film's not definite.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're waiting on funding on that one as well. But I'm not producing that one, so I really can't say anything about it. Like, the films that I'm working on producing, you know, I can keep you up to date. But, right now I'm kind of securing financing and a lead actress for this movie, The Amazing Mr. Jones. So once we have her, really
what's
excited
it about?
What's
The Amazing Mr. Jones about?
It's...
I know we have to wrap up.
Yeah, it's
like...
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a story about an older woman who's kind of seeking to change her life and finds it through earmuffs, putting out an ad to find her first orgasm, and finds this young man to satisfy it.
Thank you for squeezing my brain out of my head.
Anyway, that's enough questions for the day.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, y'all.